Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad and Mark Quitz. We are your hosts for this weekend edition on a week that was generally choppy. That seems to be the new narrative for February, is all the bulls kind of getting caught off guard, thinking that rate hikes would be over. And now, with some of the economic data that came out this week, really over the last couple weeks, coming to the realization that, you know what, maybe it isn't smooth sailing higher for these markets. We're going to jump around to a lot of different markets and sectors, as we always do, as we are chatting with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That's read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail and individual side, Rick writes in the No Trader, as well as 7-Eleven, where Rick picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to beat the S&P. Now, Rick, I read over your emails when you send them out to subscribers all the time, and you were saying that, you know, look, these markets were getting a little bit too overheated. You thought that this run could peter out, and that's more or less what we've seen over the last couple weeks, especially this week as the market started to correct a bit more. Rick, your takeaway from these markets, and quite frankly, is this bull run, or at least a short-term bull run, over?
Hi, Corey. Hi, Chad. To answer that question, yes, I do think it's over. I think bulls got way too enthusiastic. The sentiment polls I look at had bulls the highest level that they had been about a week ago or so. I think it was last Friday. They had gotten to the highest levels they had been in over a year. And I thought that that was way too high, because that put it back to February of 2022, just a month after the market made all-time highs. And to see that much bullishness with the S&P, let's just say round numbers, at 4,100 off of a 4,825 all-time high, the bullishness is just too rampant. You have too many who have declared and are playing for the new bull market to be in effect. And we have had our clients focus on right around the 4,150 level in the S&P. And unless we had Friday closes above that, we were fading this move. And I do think you're going to see the recent buyers from, let's say, let's just say going back to the beginning of January, where bulls have been in control, the month of February, they've not been. And I think you're going to see a decent give back to a fair amount of the rally we've seen this year. So it would not surprise me at all to see the S&P pull back, even as far as, let's call it, the 200-day moving average, which is right around the 3850 level. And so if we go from the closing high of this move, which I think was on February 2nd, somewhere around, I give or take, 4175, if we do pull back to 3850, we're talking about over a 7.5% decline. And I think that's where we're likely heading, something in that neighborhood. This is a year that I have said to clients is going to be one that every time you think a trend is at hand and will continue, the market will fool you and flip the other way. So I think this is the give back that we're just starting to the rally we've seen since the beginning of the year. And we'll need to sell off enough to not only kick out bulls, but get bears talking decently bearish. And at that point, we'll probably come back in and be tactical buyers, just like we were right to start the year. We came in bullish the year. But now we've flattened out that call on a tactical basis to be leaning short.
Well, Rick, it sounds like you're surfing the different waves here as they come in, and a lot of people want to have either a bullish or bearish narrative to your point, but there are some people that are more encouraged, and we're jumping on the this is a new bull market bandwagon again, because this time we saw a different breath thrust across the market. A lot of sectors that had just been beat up for over a year, a lot of them have been pulling back since late 2021, actually, not just 2022, and have started to show a little bit more relative strength, and so that gave the bulls more encouragement. But there's still the other side saying, hey, this was just a bear market rally. What will you be looking for as the chop moves back and forth to confirm either a solid breakout where it is going to be a new bull leg or where this was a bear market rally and there's lower levels to go?
Yeah, so to me, this is still has been a bear market rally that can be vicious. This certainly has moved substantially off of that mid-October low. But because we failed at 41.50 on Friday closes, so I'm judging it doesn't matter to me that we had a couple of closes above there. I'm looking more medium term, therefore a daily close above a certain level isn't going to make me change my call. I generally make my calls off of weekly charts if I'm looking at kind of medium term levels, and therefore the level we focused on was right around 41.50. We closed at 41.48 on Wednesday, but given that this is based on, you know, how the week closes out and the type Thursday and Friday price action we've seen, this to me is still a failure there, and therefore it makes more sense to be leaning negatively until you get that close above 41.50 on a Friday basis. And then, to me, it doesn't mean we're back into a whole new bull market, but it at least sets up as being a bigger kind of neutral potential trading range market. And if you look going back to, I don't know, let's say May of last year, when we sold off and we put in the June low, if you look at charts going back then, you see we're kind of in a big, broad range, we'll call it, let's just say round numbers, 4,200 to 4,300 on the top, and the bottom is probably like 3,650 down to, I don't know, 3,500 or so. And I think we kind of trade there and use a fair amount of this year. We're going to be in that range.
So, Rick, what's more likely here? That the markets go back and test those highs, that 41.95 of just a couple weeks ago, or that the markets go back and test the lows back in October of 34.91? Or are we just simply in this trading range for the foreseeable future?
Well, right now, I'll tell you, we're in a trading range. We're at the top end of the range, and therefore I'm biased to the bearish point of view right now. I don't have a reason yet to think that we're going to take out the October lows, and the way the market's now trading, this 41.50 level continues to hold as resistance. We're just under, we got down to what, 40.48 today, and we bounced a bit, but this is generally the higher end of the range. When in early February we took out the December high that brought new bulls in, which basically means almost anybody who's bought in the month of February, basically using the S&P as your benchmark, is underwater. Those were upside breakout buyers who are paying the price of being too aggressive. And I think we trade down. And so range trading, we're at the upper end. I'm a seller.
All right, Rick, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we are having you back on next segment. Overall, when it comes to U.S. equity markets, it sounds like this year will be a bit choppier than last year, which was almost straight down, at least for the first three quarters, and then a fairly strong recovery. But again, we really didn't take out any previous highs or break any significant downtrend lines. However, hey, central banks slowly stepping away, not nearly as fast as other people would like them to. In the next segment, we'll touch on some of the commodity sectors, also touch on the bond market. A lot more to talk about with Rick Bensignon. So everyone, stick around. We are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Now, Rick, we ended last segment with comments on the broad equity markets and also a comment from me saying that everything seems to be moving in unison. When the dollar's up, everything else is down. Bonds, markets, pretty much everything. So taking into account this environment, when we have seen turns, either the dollar rolling over or markets starting to rebound, Have you noticed any sectors, any individual areas that give you the heads up kind of before these turns happen that they are coming?
So typically, I would look at credit spreads for this, kind of specifically BBB corporates versus comparable maturity treasuries. But for most of the last year, they've kind of been following what's been going on in the market, not setting the pace of what would go on. So even the normal better clue for kind of an early indication of what you might see in stocks right now is not giving a good clue. If you look at where when the dollar topped relative to stocks bottoming, they're very close in time. Same thing with yields. You know, things focused in and around October. So in the case of, you know, the S&P, it was mid-October. I'm pretty sure, I don't have the chart in front of me, but I'm pretty sure the dollar peaked similar time up at 114 or so. And yields also peaked at 4.3%. So this is a global macro-type trade environment whereby you're really getting a clue from all supporting markets that of how to play. And it's ultimately, you're really playing one idea, and that's either risk on or risk off, because it's playing out across the dollar, it's playing out across the yield charts, and it's playing out across the S&P. The only place it's not particularly playing out the same way is in the commodity arena. This is one big trade, and you have multiple markets in which you can put it on, and you're either going to be right in all of them or wrong in all of them because they're so highly correlated or inversely correlated.
All right, Rick, let's go over to the commodity sector then, because as you even mentioned, commodities haven't exactly followed that trend that the markets, bonds have as the dollar's risen. Now, the commodities have been under a little bit of pressure, but you can make the argument that broadly commodities have been a bit more stable, a bit more, I guess, of a better investment than some of these more volatile other markets. We'll talk about gold right now because you've told your subscribers that, look, you're a buyer of gold down in around that 1850 and slightly lower level. That's right where gold is. On Friday, as we're recording this, gold dropped down to about that 1830 level, has now rebounded right back to 1850. Please share with us your strategy here for gold.
So I think that if you look at dollar, and of course, a stronger dollar hurts gold. A weaker dollar generally is better for gold. We've anticipated this bounce in the dollar coming from 102 down to 100.5. That's, you know, that was our tactical buy level. So no surprise that gold was going to start to falter as the dollar started rallying. As I said, I'm not looking for more than a 50% move back up in the dollar. That's its best case scenario. So it doesn't mean gold has to bottom exactly here for those. And, you know, there are people who are trading and, you know, they want to, if I say to buy gold starting at 1850, if they buy it, they want to see it go instantly higher. I'm not necessarily looking for it to be the bottom, but it's where I want to start buying gold or adding to longs. And I'm a buyer anywhere from 1850 down to about 1810. So I probably put on 40% of my position at 1850 and then scale down by the rest, because 1850 to me is a significant level and a place that I think gold can find support from. So I do like gold. To me, the fact that gold had its false breakdown last fall, where bullion, we'll say, you know, the actual metal, broke under 1675, which had been six or seven prior lows, I think within $5 of that over the last year and a half before then. And gold should have fallen apart, and it didn't. And it's been about 6 weeks under that level, shaking out longs, building in some new shorts, only to see it turn around and move materially higher. Generally, when you see that type pattern, the first pullback off of that move is one you're going to want to buy into, which is why I'm willing. You know, I've been patient. I didn't chase after gold. I've been waiting for it to pull back. This is the opportunity that we've had here. And I suspect over the next week or so, you know, we could still see gold come under some pressure as the dollar might still poke its head higher. But this is a place that I think in general terms, 1850 down to 18.10 or so is a good range in which to get exposure on the pullback for what will be another leg higher in gold. The fundamentals for gold still pan out over time as being bullish. But when you're a gold investor, you literally need to be an investor. It's tough trading gold because so much of the time gold doesn't move, and then it'll quickly make a move, and then it consolidates again. So I think of gold as a partial hedge of a general portfolio. I don't think I've ever had in my life more than 5% of total assets in gold, but it's something that I always have exposure in, and I still think gold has a decent opportunity to perform over time. So the near-term top was in at 1850 neighborhood, 1860, whatever the recent early February high was, but now I start think that we get into a place we've pulled back to where it really lifted off from. And therefore, that's why anywhere from here down to, 1810 or so, to me, is a decent place to buy gold and own it over time.
Rick, a lot of the folks that listen to our show do trade the mining stocks, and the mining stocks are still equities, so sometimes they'll track the U.S. general equities. But if gold is holding up a little bit better than maybe what you expect U.S. equities to do, how do you expect the gold stocks to fare? Will they track gold more, or will they track the equity market more?
Well, it's a little of both, but let's say if we look at the GDX as our benchmark, and it's trading at 28 and small change right now off of a high that just in early February, late January, got to just over 33. So in percentage terms, it's pulled back a fair amount, but it's getting back down into the support level and kind of the inflection level to somewhere between $27 and $28 in GDX is where I consider the inflection point. It's where we lifted off from in November, pulled back to in December, and then we had this rally and we're pulling back down into it now. So I think that gold stocks will, because it has both the component of a stock, but as well as the price of gold pushing it, if I'm right, longer term, that gold still has a decent chance here, and the false breakdown we saw in the fall was nothing more than a false breakdown, then anything here in the mid to upper 20s is a place that I think you want to be buying these type names.
Very interesting, Rick. Thank you so much, as always, for your thoughts on wide range of markets that we always cover. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump hoping to have the famed Access Hollywood tape barred from a defamation trial brought against him.
The trial comes on charges by a writer who alleges she was raped by Trump. His attorneys want the 2005 video of him making that famous grab him by the P-word gaffe while on board an Access Hollywood bus with anchor Billy Bush banned from the lawsuit being brought on by E. Jean Carroll, saying it's irrelevant and prejudicial. Carroll's attorney says in the meantime, though, the hot mic comments show that the incident with her was not just an isolated incident. I'm Ryan Daniels.
4 U.S. troops have been injured during a helicopter raid that killed an ISIS leader. North Korea launching a ballistic missile today that landed in the East Sea. South Korea's military confirming at least one ballistic missile was fired, but didn't give any additional information. Corey Myers, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are now chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market website. Now, Mark, it's been a couple of weeks since we last chatted with you. And first and foremost, let's take a step back and just discuss all this U.S. economic data that has come out that has tended to lean more on the more optimistic side of things. And optimistic being retail sales were strong, the jobs data was quite strong, PPI and CPI numbers did show a bit of a slowdown in inflation, but inflation is still, I think, relatively higher than a lot of the central banks, especially the Fed, want it to be. This has gone hand in hand with people, I think, adjusting a little bit of their rate hiking expectations on the side that the Fed will keep on hiking rates, albeit most likely just 25 basis points moving forward. Mark, your takeaway from all this strong U.S. economic data and how it's now playing into a bit of a shift in expectations for investors.
Yeah, you're right. You know, there's been a string of strong economic data, strong probably understate the case. I mean, more than half a million jobs grown in January. And then that retail sales report we saw earlier this week up 3%, blowing away expectations. We saw another jump in manufacturing output. And for the first time in several months, we're seeing a rise in housing permits. Housing market's still under a lot of pressure, but this is the first glimmer of hope that maybe those lower mortgage rates, lower interest rates for mortgages are beginning to filter through. We'll see that next week probably with the existing home sales. But so this back to data, I think that, you know, the market had been had been looking for weaker data. And especially, you know, in November and December, we saw retail sales fall roughly 1% a month. We saw a manufacturing output fall roughly 1% a month in November and December. And so then we get this big bounce back. And I think that the market, that pendulum of market sentiment previously did not think that we'd get to 5% on Fed funds. And now it's saying that maybe 5.25, maybe even above there, because several banks are talking about 5.5, and I saw some talking about 6%. And so I think that we have to be careful. Market sentiment is such a fickle thing, you know. It reminds me of late last September when sterling was near its record lows, 103.5, and people were talking about the UK as an emerging market economy. The Economist did an article talking about brittle. And I think at the time I recognized that as just an extreme swing in sentiment. And I think the same thing's happening now. The market basically got caught leaning a bit the wrong way, and it's had to, it's had such a dramatic effect. And we see this, I'll give you an example of the 2-year U.S. yield. Before those jobs number, the 2-year yield was near 4%, and we got up to 4.71 today. It's reflecting that just what a dramatic swing we've had in expectation. And I think that the market's overdoing it. I just don't think that we should expect the data to repeat itself. And I think that, you know, we've already seen that one of the Federal Reserve presidents, Barkin, lay up the same point that he's not putting much stock in this last batch of data because it was so distorted. Seasonal effects. You know, we've had, since COVID, the seasonal adjustment problems for January, for retail sales. The jobs number was also influenced methodological changes as well as seasonal adjustments. And so we really need a clean batch of data, and we're going to get that in the coming weeks. And for me, I think that there's some data, and what I'm looking at is the poor Philadelphia Fed survey for the month of February. And the other number that I'm putting, I think that we should keep in mind, though it's a bit old school and people don't pay much attention to it anymore, leading economic indicators. They have fallen every month since last February. They're down, so that's through January of this year, which we just got today. In the second half of last year, it was down about 7.5% year over year. So I think that in some ways, this really brings us, given the strong economic data to your question, is what does this mean about the recession that so many people thought was inevitable? And I think that people are still looking at the inversion of the yield curve, no matter which part of it you want to look at. They're looking at money supply, M2, that's not just growing slowly, but actually contracting. And so I think that the Economist have really just deferred the economic downturn to the second and third quarters of this year. And the market sort of, I think the market traders exaggerating the importance of this January super strong economic data.
Yeah, Mark, do you think we're back in that environment again where with the people expecting the Fed to keep hiking longer and higher, that we're going to see the dollar and rates keep pushing higher and punish the rest of the sectors?
Well, I do think that the dollar has the dollar bounce has brought many of the foreign currencies into some key chart points. 106 in the euro, 135 in the dollar yen. Sterling made a new low today, 119.15. And the low for the year is 118.5 or 118.60, that kind of area. Aussie and Kiwi have been punished as well. And so we've frayed some support. But my sense is that what's it going to take to reverse this fickle sentiment? And I'm afraid that we're not going to have anything big on the calendar until March 10th, and that's when the next batch of U.S. jobs data comes out. And so for me, the risk then is that if we go through 106 in the euro, we can go down to 104.5, 105. Dollar yen, I've been looking for this 135. We saw it today, but we couldn't stay above it. But if we do, I think we go maybe 137. And beyond that, 139.50, 140 against possible if U.S. rates continue to back up. So I am concerned that we've gotten to some interesting chart points, and maybe we can consolidate until we can shake this out. And maybe the dollar is still vulnerable to the upside. And I say vulnerable because you look at the futures market and the non-commercials, the speculators in the futures market, have a very significant long euro position coming into this week's action. And so I worry that market positioning is a big deal here. You know, in the stock market, again, we're going through some level. We can't sustain even modest upticks. I think almost everybody I talk to is bearish stocks, partly on the back of the Fed, partly on the back of an earnings slowdown. And so I do think we're in a position where if we get some weak economic data, the market can have, say, the non-farm payrolls for this month soften a bit. We get that report in March 10th, and then I think we can resume the dollars. What I think is the dollar's high is in place now, last September and October, and this is primarily a correction, as violent as it might be.
So, Mark, before we get you out of here, since we talk so much about the Fed, there's other central banks that we should consider, and quite frankly, the next Fed meeting is still a ways off. I believe a little over a month off. What else are you watching? Other central banks that could actually dictate market moves and change investors' expectations?
Well, you know, there's nothing like the Federal Reserve. But next week, I think we'll be watching the BOJ officials testifying before their parliament and get some clues about what the BOJ does. The first meeting of the new governor will be the around April 10th. And the market's pricing in as if at his first meeting he's going to raise interest rates. It's possible. You might remember that when Draghi took over the ECB, that's what he did, raised rates at his first meeting. I don't think that's very sort of, say, Japanese-like. I think instead, like I say, the review policy and then maybe come up with a game plan on how to exit when needed, when appropriate. But another central bank that meets next week is the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. And it's not, even though they were the first to come up with a 2% inflation target, I won't say that they are key to the global capital markets. But an interesting development is that the market was pricing in a 50 basis point hike by the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. And then they were hit with a cyclone that just devastated the economy. And so I think that it makes it a much more difficult call of what New Zealand's going to do.
All right, Mark, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you very much for your time. As always, fun to go through the economic data and also discuss how currencies are moving, because those are biggest markets in the world, and we can see some of the shifts that happen. Again, a lot predicated on what central banks are doing. Still sounds like we're in for a bit of a choppy year, or at least choppy short-term time frame here. Mark, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat in a couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to pretty much shift our focus exclusively to the precious metal sectors. We are now chatting with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisor and the senior editor over at the Gold Eagle website. Now, Christopher, look, last time we had you on back in December, you were focused on the Dow to gold ratio and really saying that if we want gold to have a prolonged run, if we want to see this true bull market for the precious metals, we're going to need to see gold start to perform better against the underlying U.S. equity markets. And you were looking and comparing the gold chart to the Dow chart. Now, since we chatted in December, boy, oh boy, January was a good month. February, all of a sudden, stuff started rolling over. Goes hand in hand with U.S. markets and the gold price. Broadly, Christopher, any changes that you have seen or anything noteworthy we should be watching then between the Dow to gold ratio now compared to December?
Yes, absolutely, Corey, and thank you for having me back on the show. So as you said, when we last spoke in December, we were talking about, as the backdrop for investors here, the fact that from the 2015 low in gold, which was the major bear market low of just above $1,000 per ounce, as gold prices have nearly doubled, and in fact, at one point were more than a double as gold was above 2000 just about a year ago. So gold prices nearly doubling over the last 6 years, yet the Dow to gold ratio being exactly flat, fully flat, no change in the Dow to gold ratio, meaning that the average stock index fund, whether a Dow fund, an S&P 500 fund, or any major index around the world, investors have done just as well in a stock index fund compared to gold over the last 6 years, even though the gold price has doubled. And so what that means is that the speculative bid, you know, the average investor that, let's say, 10 or 12 years ago in the last cycle started to turn their attention toward gold and alternative assets has been absent from this bull run here. So when we last spoke in December, you know, we were looking at the Dow to gold ratio in the range of 17.5 ounces of gold to buy one share in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And In fact, we did see that recovery in gold. You know, gold was actually up about $250 since the last time we spoke, but the Dow to gold ratio actually moved in favor of the Dow during that time, just ever so slightly, moving from about 17.5 to about 18 in favor of the Dow. So what that means is, still, once again, and at the risk of sounding like a broken record, but I have to say what I see in front of me until that is no longer the case, is that, you know, even with this recovery in gold, we have seen the Dow and gold basically moving in lockstep, not necessarily every single day, but as a net sum here over these last 6 years, and it continues to be the case.
So, Christopher, let's carry this over to the gold stocks then, because as encouraging as it is to see gold continuing to move closer to those all-time highs, unfortunately, the gold stocks, you look at GDX, GDXJ, they are well off of their all-time highs. You can even make the argument that they've been trending lower since that 2020 peak, even after this 50% bounce. Why? For all the gold investors, and look, a lot of people go to the stocks to try to make money in the gold market. Why have the gold stocks underperformed so much in your eyes?
Yeah, it's been quite disappointing to be right on the macro thesis of gold moving higher, yet to have the expression of that through traditional vehicles, which investors are looking for leverage, to have that not play out. You know, when we look at big picture for the GDX index, just talking about the senior gold miners versus gold, I mean, we've had gold already exceed its 2011 peak of $1,920 per ounce. Yet the GDX at the similar periods of time only made a 50% Fibonacci retracement of the bear market, only getting back into the region around 40, 45 on the GDX, whereas at 2011, the GDX had peaked at 66. So GDX got nowhere near its 2011 peak, even as gold made new all-time highs within the last 2 years. Here, over the short run, when we look at just, let's say, the last few months out of the false breakdown, we did start to notice a little bit of leverage to the upside. GDX rose almost 50% in the move, whereas gold was up by about $300, or that would be in the range of 20 to 25%. So, you know, that is outperformance on the short term, but certainly over the intermediate term, basically going back to 2016 at the very least, the gold miners have underperformed. In my opinion, it comes back to that Dow to gold ratio that we were discussing earlier, where you have the mainstream investor that is nowhere near this market. And this is not just me looking at data points on charts. I'm also talking anecdotally speaking with respect to my business, you know, and I've been doing this since 2007. In 2009, 2010, 2011, that whole period after the global financial crisis, I started to have individuals who had never before invested in gold or thought about it, friends of mine who would be, you know, quite mainstream investors, let's say, who started to approach me out of the blue and say, hey, Chris, you know, I heard you follow the gold market. Is this a good time for me to be buying some gold? You know, as gold was making that move from 1,000 to 1920, that was back in the last cycle. I've had none of that during this cycle. So back to the point that I think we're arriving at here is that the mainstream investor, both in the United States and Canada and in most of the West, the mainstream investor has not yet even begun to think about investing in precious metals. I would argue from a long-term perspective, that is a bullish contrarian signal. We are not near a long-term ultimate top here with that set of circumstances happening. But that said, I believe that's why we have not seen any of that speculative bid come into the market, and why the GDX is underperforming, and not just the GDX, but a lot of the development and junior miners are orders of magnitude undervalued compared to where they were either 5 years ago in 2016 and certainly compared to 2011. And, you know, you look at across the board, there are companies that have defined resources. I'm not even talking exploration only. There's nothing wrong with exploration, but let's put that as a certain level of risk that I'm not referring to in this moment. But even if we talk about companies with proven and probable resources, I'm seeing companies that are trading for $20 to $25 per ounce of gold in the ground in that proven and probable reserve category. Back in 2010, 2011, when gold prices were the same as they are today, those same reserves were selling for between $300 to $300, $350 per ounce in the ground. You're talking 10 to 15x or more than 1,000% higher valuations than we are seeing today. Literally orders of magnitude, life-changing orders of magnitude higher than the basement rock bottom levels, no pun intended, that we are seeing today. You know, it has been disappointing. It has been frustrating. Trust me, I feel it the same as all the listeners out there. But when we come back to the gold chart for a minute and we take the knowledge that that thing made a false breakdown in Q4 of last year, it's still in the consolidation. I did not expect it would break out now just a few weeks ago. Looks like we'll have a nice midsummer consolidation here. But when you juxtapose the idea that that false breakdown preludes what should be a positive breakout to new all-time highs, either late 2023 or early 2024, if there ever was an opportunity for what we could call a life-altering revaluation in this sector, it looks to me like it's over the next 24 months.
All right, Christopher, we're out of time for this segment, but as always, great having you on the show. Thank you for sharing some of your insights, and thanks for stepping a little bit away from just the individual charts, comparing what we've seen gold do compared to U.S. markets and also gold compared to the underlying precious metal stocks. I know a lot of our listeners are really hoping that this whole scenario of a much more bullish maybe end to the year, maybe even couple years coming up, well, that could draw everything higher, which would be a welcoming aspect for this sector and for a lot of people listening. Christopher, thank you as always for your time. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. Please make sure to join us throughout the week on our website and podcast. We'll be covering the market moves all through next week as well. Christopher, everybody, hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you so much for having me, gentlemen.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Well, you don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S. patented, made in America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.